910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A deadly shootout in suburban Minneapolis. Two police officers and a paramedic killed while responding to a domestic violence call on Sunday. The suspect was also killed. There were seven children inside the home, but they're all safe. An 11-year-old girl in the Houston area is missing. Police suspect her father's roommate may have had something to do with her disappearance. He was arrested for enticing a minor back in 2008. The Gaza Health Ministry, run by Hamas, saying this morning that 29,000 Palestinians have been killed so far in the war. At The Hague, the UN's top court is holding hearings on the Israeli occupation of the West Bank in Gaza. This is Palestinian Prime Minister Riyad al-Maliki.
It is time to put an end to the double standards that have kept our people captive for far too long. International law must be applied to all states without exception.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet unanimously rejecting Palestinian statehood. This is ABC News. The Pentagon now confirming that Houthi rebels in Yemen have been using an underwater drone to attack ships in the Red Sea. It was hit by a U.S. strike over the weekend. The NBA's All-Star Game, not exactly a defensive struggle. ABC's Will Clark is in Indianapolis.
Defense was non-existent as the Eastern Conference breezed to a 211-186 win in the 73rd NBA All-Star Game. MVP Damian Lillard of the Milwaukee Bucks contributed 39 of those points.
You know, you just got to keep shooting the ball. And I think in a game like this, you know, it's going to be pretty loose.
The offensive exhibition coming a day after NBA Commissioner Adam Silver told the players he wanted to see a more competitive All-Star game. Will Clark, ABC News.
And stop putting your iPhone in rice if it gets wet. And that's been the common advice, the thinking for years. Rice will pull the water out, but Apple updating its guidance, warning that small rice pieces could do damage as well. Instead, tap the phone until the water gets out. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is taking steps towards cracking down on sex trafficking. The State Assembly Thursday passed a package of bills that came out of the Speaker's task force on the problem. Republican Representative Rick Gundrum.
One of the reasons sex trafficking is thriving here in Wisconsin is because our current penalties are often less than the cost of the actual solicitation.
The task force was formed after the human rights group Shared Hope International gave Wisconsin a failing grade for its anti-trafficking laws. A new push to legalize medical marijuana in Wisconsin is going nowhere this year. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tells reporters a Republican bill won't be taken up this session. Republicans disagree amongst themselves about whether the state should run medical marijuana dispensaries. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks' Damian Lillard named All-Star MVP.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The East beat the West in the annual NBA All-Star Game by a ridiculous final score of 211-186, a new all-time record high. Milwaukee's Damian Lillard becoming the first player to win both the three-point competition and MVP.
It's definitely one of those things where people are going to look at the game and say they don't play defense, and some people don't take the competition serious. But for me, it was just a break from the season and an opportunity for me to just be successful at something.
Baseball veterans reporting to Brewers spring training camp, including their new first baseman, Rhys Hoskins, who signed with the club after leaving the Phillies. A week later, the Brewers traded pitcher Corbin Burns to Baltimore. His reaction.
Anytime you lose a bona fide ace in this game, Corbin Burns, and he's really, really good, but, you know, an opportunity for some of the younger guys to step up.
That's Brewers first baseman, Rhys Hoskins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today. We'll get to 39 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at around 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop to 22 for a low. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 42. Then on Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high near 45. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. It is 8 degrees outside right now.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right, here we go.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
And good morning, Wisconsin. I'm Chad Holmes, sitting in today and tomorrow for Pat Breitlow, who is off, not on assignment, but off taking a little bit of time off this week. And I'll be with you today and tomorrow. And then Todd Alba will be sitting in Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I already feel bad for Todd Alba. Not only is he adding a third hour again this week on his own show from noon until 3, he'll be back to 2 hours next week when Maggie Dawn moves to the 2 to 4 hour time slot. Todd is also, I know, traveling around the state this week as well. I think he's going to be up at the Birkebeiner at some point this week. So, again, that guy just keeps going and going and going. But we're both very happy to, again, sit in for Pat Breitlow here on Up North News throughout the course of this week. But I am also very happy to be joined by Greg Bach. You're down in Waukesha, correct, Greg?
I am down in Waukesha right now as we speak.
I think it's 19 degrees, if my information is correct, right now in Waukesha. Right now here in downtown Wausau, where I am broadcasting from, it is 15 degrees. And again, if you're not familiar with myself, I host a program on Bull Falls Radio here in Wausau each weekday from 8 until 10 a.m. So, just a little bit early. I got to tell you, though, it may be only 2 hours, but it is a big difference coming in.
Yeah, you're
right. A
couple
of extra hours. And frankly, whenever I sub for Pat and come in early, the night before the first night, it's like the first day of school. You cannot sleep. I slept horribly last night. It was incredibly frustrating, but hey, I feel pretty good to start things off and looking forward to being with you the next couple of days.
We're going to have a good time. It's going to be fun. I know what you mean. Every Sunday night, I'm like, all right, time to go to bed at 7:30, 8 o'clock again.
Coming up on the program today, at the bottom of the hour, after our information update at the bottom of the hour, at about 6:35, we'll be joined by Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska. And it's one of my favorite times of the year. It is winter high school playoffs. We're in the midst of hockey sectionals this week. We have girls basketball playoffs starting tomorrow night. Yesterday, we had the brackets for the boys high school basketball playoffs announced. So we're going to talk a little bit about that with Jimmy Cuska coming up at 6:35. And then at 7:20, a gentleman I know that Pat's had on the program, I've had him on my program a number of times, really somebody I have great respect for in terms of getting things done, in terms of moving the football down the field, maybe not hitting on that 50-yard
bomb, but moving the sticks very consistently. American Hispanic Association Director Tony Gonzalez, he'll be joining us at 7:20 this morning. And at 7:50 this morning, we'll be talking to Civic Media News Director Terry Bell. He joins Up North News each and every weekday, I should say Monday at 7:50 with three things you should know, and he's going to let us know about that to get our work week off to a great start and be in terms of the information that we need here on this Monday morning. So that's all coming up between now and 8 a.m. today here on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wanted to start things off a little bit... maybe not as bright. It's still dark outside as I look outside my window here in downtown Wausau. But in fact, when I woke up this morning, my alarm went off to the top of the hour news. And headlines were not one major shooting, but two major shootings. The major shooting talking about in Colorado. And then last night, major shooting in Minnesota, where a couple of young police officers were killed, 27 years old each, tragedy. And it got me thinking a little bit about what will be done, if anything, what will be done. And in fact, it was a bit of a pattern over the last couple of days, especially on the weekend. Yesterday, I'm sure many of you on a Sunday morning getting some information in the morning on Upfront, Wisconsin-based political talk show that is heard on stations throughout the state of Wisconsin. Devin Lemahue, the state majority leader in the Senate, was on the program. And the big headlines from Devin Lemahue were no and no. No on a medical marijuana bill that was actually put out by the Republicans in Madison and passed by the Assembly. Not, he says, it's dead. Too much disagreement in the Republican caucus in the state Senate on whether or not the state should be involved in running these dispensaries. So no on medical marijuana. Then he was asked about counting the ballots in Milwaukee earlier because Republicans have been outraged because it actually takes time to count ballots. They want those ballots counted now. And there's an idea put out that to allow the city of Milwaukee to start counting the early ballots, the absentee ballots, on Monday before the election on Tuesday. So we don't have to wait until late into the evening, into the overnight, to find out the results on these absentee and early ballots in Milwaukee. Devin Lemahue said no. And then he said something I found interesting. He said, well, it's incumbent on the city of Milwaukee to count the ballots faster. We don't need to count the ballots faster. We need to count the ballots accurately. And if you have ideas in order, you have those ballots, they're coming in the weeks prior to the election. If they really want those ballots counted earlier, you have a possibility of doing that. But Devin Lemahue said no. And following the pattern of the last number of days, nothing has been heard from Ron Johnson or Donald Trump on the death of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny. And of course, you recall late last week, Alexei Navalny, man in his 40s, who had been seen on video earlier on the very same day on Friday. And apparently he was out on a walk and just keeled over and died. And according to the Russian authorities, they did everything they possibly could to try and save him. Okay. But last week was an interesting week when it came to how the Republican Party, and I'll say in particularly Ron Johnson, was handling the issues around Russia, around Ukraine funding, and just generally around Vladimir Putin. And I keep, and again, maybe I missed it, but I've been searching, wanting to see what Ron Johnson would say, because he has now become known as one of the leaders when it has come to, would you call it the pro-Russia faction of the Republican Party? I guess you could call it the pro-Russian faction of the Republican Party. In fact, over the weekend, I saw a very interesting posting online when it, I think, could, it was not mentioned specifically in terms of Ron Johnson, but was made in terms of the feet dragging when it comes to providing funding for the Ukraine resistance in the war against Russia. And there was a posting that said, that went back in history. And again, boy, oh boy, you need to know your history, because everything that you think is new is really old. But there was a war going on in Europe back in the late 1930s and the early 1940s that the United States at the time was not involved in. You may be familiar with it. It's something we come to know as World War II. And of course, Adolf Hitler started to move against countries, first in Eastern Europe, and then started to move against France and other countries in Western Europe. And then he moved on England in late 1930s and early 1940s. And there was a movement in this country called America First that wanted to keep our country out of the war in Europe. We have nothing to gain from it. And in Des Moines, Iowa, in 1940, perhaps the most famous man in America, outside President Roosevelt, but maybe even more famous than the president, maybe the most famous person in the world, Charles Lindbergh. Of course, Charles Lindbergh became a hero in this country and around the world when he became the first person to fly across the Atlantic Ocean, the first transatlantic flight to Paris, France. And he became a very, very well-known figure. And he became someone that was a leader in the America First movement. And in 1940, at this speech in Des Moines, Iowa, he said, "I've been forced to the conclusion that we can't win this war for England, regardless of how much assistance we send." We cannot win this war for England, no matter how much assistance we send. Ron Johnson, just last week, sounded a lot like Charles Lindbergh in 1940. Ron Johnson said that Vladimir Putin will not lose this war. Vladimir Putin will not win this war, and it would be basically a waste for us to continue to send money and supplies to the brave men and women of the Ukraine, and that we should basically stand back and let Vladimir Putin take Ukraine. And also last week, Ron Johnson said Vladimir Putin, in his interview with Tucker Carlson, made accurate, obvious points in his interview with Carlson. Ron Johnson was in Russia on July the 4th of 2018. I'm still curious to know what he was told in that visit in 2018. But are we going to see anything done when it comes to the continuing gun violence? Are we going to see anything done when it comes to border security that the Republicans say is the most important issue right now in our country? Are we going to see anything done on a bill that Republicans pushed forward in the state of Wisconsin on medical pot and on the issue of getting the votes counted as quickly as possible in Milwaukee? And are we going to see anything getting done when it comes to helping the people of Ukraine? No, 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 no. No nothings. I'm Chad Holmes in for Pat Kreitlow, Up North News, on the Civic Media Radio
Network. You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost it by 3%.
You can do that?
And if you transfer in any retirement account, you get 3% on top of that.
Is there a limit to the match?
No limit. Robinhood Gold gets you the biggest contribution match of any IRA on the market. Sign up for Robinhood Gold at Robinhood.com/boost by April 30th. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Match on transfers subject to additional terms and conditions. Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC.
The Todd Alba Show.
You look at Taylor Swift, she fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Services.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Services.
My mama told me, you better shop around. Oh, yeah, you better shop around.
And welcome back. It is Up North News Radio. I am not Pat Kreitlow. I am Chad Holmes, as Pat is off this week. And, Pat Kreitlow taking some time off. What is time off, Greg Bach? I always see you there. I know I'm always here. And yet we see Pat Kreitlow taking off all the time. I don't know what's going on here.
Let's take this entire next segment to just talk about how Pat Kreitlow is so mean for going to a real nice, warm place to hang out and just drink drinks, kick back. Now, are you good at vacationing, Chad?
I am. One of these days, I'm actually going to take the time that I have in vacation, because every year I have multiple weeks left.
Yeah.
And I'm told by the bosses, take your time, take your time. And it's like, you know, and so much of it, I try to take my time when I'm not going to miss any of my high school sports. And that goes on most of the year. So it's like, I'm thinking maybe I'll take a few days between the end of the winter sports season and the start of the spring sports season. But I'm terrible about that. I am just awful about taking my time off. And I know it's good for us to do that, to recharge just a little bit. But man, I need somebody to tell me what to do when my vacation comes up.
Just need to pull the plug out of your headphones and roll you out of the building with a train or plane ticket in your hand going, see you in 2 weeks.
Exactly.
But, you know, we're very
change
lucky.
The locks. Don't let me in.
Change all the codes. We'll go back to regular when it's done. You know, we're very lucky at Civic Media. We have very, you know, our leadership is about vacationing. They're about taking your time off. They give us the time to do that. And the ability to unplug when we need to unplug, which is very appreciated. But constantly, you know, year by year after year, it's always reported that Americans, they register between 600 and 700 million hours of unused vacation time. Cause it's just like so hard for us because I feel like a lot of people say, I don't deserve it, or I have so much to do, or what if they replace me, or there's all these reasons never to vacation. And we all have that friend who's like, this is my first vacation in 12 years.
You're exactly right about Civic Media and the encouragement to take our time. And you're also exactly right that for whatever reason in this country, there is almost a sense that if you take your vacation, you're slacking in some way. And it's wrong on every level because what I've said to people as well, that when it comes to the issue of education, when I hear people like Robin Voss say, the only thing that universities should be focused on is building the economy. Life is too short. We need to take classes that broaden our mind, that allow us to learn something about something that we may not use on an everyday basis.
Yeah.
But the idea that everything that we do should be focused on building the economy is not the right thing. And that's what we hear way too often. Man, if you take that course, if you decide to take that vacation, you're somehow hurting the economy in some way. And I just think that we need to be able to embrace the full range of what life is. And when you do think about it, we are here for a very short amount of time, and it shouldn't. And again, when you talk about history, if you think back 125, 150 years, about when you hear about the 7 days where people would work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, where their whole life was basically serving the man.
Yeah.
You want to use that terminology. And that's one of the things. And when you look back at the last 125 years, every time that there's been an advancement when it comes to the 40-hour work week or workers' compensation or any of the laundry list of important policies that were implemented, they have not been done by the party of no. That's what I'll say. And but the bottom line is, I think you hit it on the head. Boy, we need to have the opportunity to step away, to be able to. And then when you come back, I think you're better workers.
Yes.
By far.
Well, and that's
if you're going to get wore down, it does nobody any good.
And when you have a boss that says to you, it's important for us for you to vacate, which is where vacation comes from, to leave, I think there's a morale that can be built within the company too, to say like, oh, I've got leadership that supports me, my mental health, my physical health, and I'm going to take my 2 weeks or my 1 week or whatever. And I know that my job's safe. I know no one's, you know, going to fire me. I've got all of my work farmed out to the people who need it. I've done all that I need to do. I'll see y'all in 5 days and I'll let you know what I saw in Nantucket, you know, and then you come back and you feel good. And, you know, you bring up you mentioned the concept of building the economy, which from a very, you know, salute the flag America way sounds really wonderful. But when someone like the popcorn king, Robin Voss, says schools should be building the economy, to me, all that I hear is, all right, you're going to go in the front door. And then when you come out that back door, we're going to hand you a lunch pail, go work, shut up, and be happy you even have a job to begin with.
And it also, to me, and again, I may be going off the beaten path here, that just indicates to me that whoever's right here is going to stay right here.
Yep.
Whoever's right here is going to stay right here. Whoever's right here is going to stay right here.
Yeah.
That the people that are the owners and the wealthy already, they're going to keep their wealth. Mm-hmm. And then we're just going to keep rolling people through the system.
Yep.
One of the aspects of this country from its very beginning was about having that mobility, having opportunities. And that only occurs if you do expand your knowledge, expand your mind, expand your skill set. And again, if it's all about what you're doing tomorrow from 8 until 5 or from working the afternoon shift or the overnight shift, you're never going to take those steps forward.
And even if you, I mean, that's the thing is nowadays, it seems like you're lucky if you have a job where they allow you to work 8 to 5. Nowadays, they're like, take your laptop home, take your cell phone home. You'll be on call until 11 o'clock. When you go on vacation, just make sure you'll be able to step into a meeting if you need to step into a meeting. No. That's fine. I'll do that, but I'm on call and you will pay me for my time because if I'm going on vacation, I'm not working. Sorry, I just turned I turned this into a rally. I apologize.
No, I agree 100%. And man, I had one final point to make, and now it slipped my mind because that was such a good point. But
your brain took a vacation,
and I'm terrible about stepping away as well when I am on vacation, having my laptop here, checking everything, doing something.
Yeah.
And no, you gotta get away. So good for Pat Kreitlow.
Yes.
Where is Pat, by the way?
We started this whole thing trying to make fun of him, and now we've lifted him up as a leader amongst men.
Pat, take more vacation. That's the bottom line here.
I don't know exactly. I think he went somewhere tropical. I know I know it was somewhere very warm.
But the thing is, Pat, I mean, man, you look at his career, I tell you, he deserves it all.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's so good, and he does such a great job here every morning, and as you do as well. So
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
It's really, really good to be in here for the next couple of days. Again, coming up later in the show, American Hispanic Association's Tony Gonzalez, a guy that works so closely with so many people down in Madison working on legislation, a guy that really knows how to get across the aisle. And coming up next, we're going to loosen it up even a little bit more, talk to a Civic Media sports director, Jimmy Cuska, about high school sports, because I love high school sports. And in fact, I got a game tonight, so I'll be dragging tomorrow morning when I come back. But maybe I'll sleep tonight after not sleeping this past
night. Heard it here, folks. Chad's going to sleep tonight.
Jimmy Cuska coming up next after an information update here on Up North News on Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin soybean growers are keeping an eye on the state capitol. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Still waiting to see if they are going to find a TIF district created for the community of Evansville. Jordan Lamb is a legislative affairs specialist with the Welch Group and explains why that TIF district is so important.
A Minnesota-based agribusiness company known as CHS is working to build a brand new $700 million soybean processing facility in the city of Evansville. That new facility is expected to create 90 jobs and have the capacity to process 70 million bushels of soybeans each year. We do not currently have a soybean processing facility in Wisconsin, so this would be huge for Wisconsin farmers from across the state. However, to support that project, the city of Evansville wants to create a tax incremental financing district, a TIF district, to reimburse a portion of those infrastructure costs.
Jordan Lamb, she's a legislative affairs specialist with the Welch Group. While they keep an eye on the state capitol to see if that TIF district is going to move forward, bear in mind that Wisconsin produces more than 100 million bushel of soybeans every year, and this would be a new value-added proposition for their bottom line. Speaking of the bottom line, quiet this morning. It is President's Day Monday. No trading going on. I'll recap the numbers from Friday coming up.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau's grassroots policy really truly is a bottom-up process. This is truly started at the bottom by the members, for the members. It really does work its way up the chain because this is the core foundation of Farm Bureau. We truly are all-encompassing, and that's why I really believe in the Farm Bureau mission.
WFBF.com.
We are the voice of agriculture.
A voice for farmers.
A vision for agriculture.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Rural Mutual Insurance. Keeping Wisconsin strong.
If you're interested in a rewarding career with a strong Wisconsin company, Rural Mutual Insurance is looking to add to their growing team of successful employees and agents. Apply online today at ruralmutual.com/careers.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All right, on Friday in Chicago, the December corn closed up 2 cents at 4.58¾. November beans were up 7¾, 11.48½, while July new crop wheat closed 8¼ lower at 5.61¾. The barrel cheese on Friday was up 5¼ cents to 1.60¾. 40-pound block cheese down a penny and a quarter at 1.48, while AA butter gained 2¼ cents, settled at 2.75 a pound. Class 3 fluid milk for March closed 4 cents stronger at 1684 a hundredweight. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today. We'll get to 39 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at around 5 to 10. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop to 22 for a low. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 42. Then on Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high near 45. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 6.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back on the crazy train here on Upload News Radio. I'm sitting in today for Pat Kreitlow. I'll be back in tomorrow as well. Then Todd Alba, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Why we're hearing folks like Smokey Robinson and Ozzy Osbourne, we'll let you know coming up in our daily history break, coming up a little bit later on in this hour. But it is one of my favorite times of the year. Keeps me busy, but it's also so much fun, as this time of year we're in the midst of winter high school playoff season. As this week it will be high school hockey sectionals, both the boys and the girls looking to punch tickets to the state tournament down in Madison. Girls basketball playoffs begin tomorrow night. Yesterday we saw the brackets for the state boys basketball tournament and also state wrestling individual tournament as well. And to talk about this and more is our civic media sports director, a guy that gets around as well when it comes to high school sports and college sports, Jimmy Cuska. Jimmy, first of all, good morning. Thanks for coming on the program.
Morning. Yeah, this is the week where things really start getting busy in the high school sports world, I think, here in the winter.
Let's start off with the boys, because it was yesterday. I think a lot of people were keeping a very close eye, seeing what their brackets were. When you look at high school boys basketball, I know here in central Wisconsin, we've got a couple of really good Division I teams in Marshfield and Stevens Point getting top seedings. You got, I think, the pre-tournament favorite in Division IV with Marathon being a number one seed. As you look around the state, is there anything that you saw yesterday with these brackets that perked your ears up, intrigued you in any way?
One thing about basketball and the way it's seeded is that it's done by computer seeding. And I think any debate you have over where teams are kind of slotted kind of starts there. But I will say the other side of that, in addition to the computer seeding, I think that gets people a little rankled is the fact that there are some sectionals that are just insanely loaded. You look in southeastern Wisconsin, where in the higher divisions, that's where a lot of the larger schools in the state are. So you look in, like, you know, in Division One or Division Two, and you'll see kind of the split between, you know, Sectional Three and Sectional Four, for example, where a lot of the really good teams in D1, for example, are kind of all pooled into Sectional Three, where the 8 seed in that bracket might have been a top seed in like Sectional Four. So, you know, there's so many different parts that move along with how the brackets are set. And one component is where teams are seated, you know, the year before in their sectionals. But the other part of it is that now there's the computer seating element of it. And what I mean by that is the people are looking for someone to blame for when their team doesn't get seated right, where appropriately, right? So when a team is seated and fans or parents or coaches or players feel, hey, our team didn't get the seed we wanted, right? Well, in the past, you always could just blame the coaches and the process of the politics of a coaches meeting in that sport. But you don't get to do that now. Now it's up to computers to kind of slot you where you go. And there are some cases where you'll see even a team that maybe gets swept 2-0 in a conference by another team, and they're getting seeded 2 spots ahead because, you know, in non-conference play, they knocked off a couple of schools that might have had a better record. So in basketball specifically, with the computer seeding, that's where some of the arguments come. Now, there are still sports being seeded by coaches, and that process itself has flaws, but at least in that case, you can I guess pin it on you know, humans at least, and talk about that process a bit. But I think in basketball, I think a lot of the angst comes from computer seeding. And I think, Chad, part of that is that not everybody, you know, we don't know all of the moving parts are that formula. So,
and that's one of the, and it actually is very significant, because in hockey, they still have the coaches do it. And as you said, in basketball, the computer does it. And I know in talking to hockey coaches around here and basketball coaches around here as well, the hockey coaches have told me that the head to head is vital when it comes to the seeding process. And when you look at the rules or the criteria when it comes to the computer seedings, it has nothing. You don't get any extra points other than what it means within the entire picture of the seeding process. If you sweep, as you said, a conference opponent that you have to have in the same bracket, it really is a significant change when it comes to how the seeding process goes, and ultimately how the road to the state tournament ends up being for a lot of these schools.
I think any coach will tell you, like, hey, if I beat your team once or if I beat them twice, I deserve to be ranked ahead of you. I think any coach would argue that if you know you're looking at the merits of a bracket and how things are seated, that's kind of where it starts and ends, you know, starts when it comes to comparing, you know, two teams or a group of teams perhaps that can kind of slot it together. You know, one of the things that's nice about the coaches part of it is that there's also an appeal process for every seat on the board, right? So if you lay it out in that first go round, you think, hey, some of these things seem out of place, or maybe it makes sense to flip these two seeds, and maybe the one team is more deserving of a higher seed, but for travel or for whatever reason, it makes more sense to flip these teams. You have mechanisms in place to kind of argue that. I was talking to one hockey coach in Division One who said that in their bracket, it was kind of a mishmash of four different conferences all kind of pooled into this sectional, and we were going through it, and they're like, well, if we laid it out as we seeded it, just about every game is requiring cross-state travel. So if we tweak a couple of things, now these are more regional, and it makes more sense to have a true regional where these schools aren't having to travel from, say, you know a two-hour drive on a Tuesday to open up the playoffs. So, you know, that's one of the pluses to that. One of the negatives to that, obviously, is that if you get a group of teams at a conference and they sort of move in a block, they're going to look for the more favorable seating, and they can boost each other up or knock others down to kind of get that advantage. And that's the politics of a coach's part of it. But the computer part of it kind of removes that objectivity from it, you know, or removes that subjectivity to it. It becomes more of an objective measure of some formula that they use, which isn't known to the coaches necessarily. And if you look on the seating, if you look at all on social media, Chad, and I know you do, a lot of the threads are in response to the fact that there's a formula that coaches don't necessarily know at all, how things are weighted in that. So then you end up in cases where, you know, say a conference, you know, like the Big Eight in Madison in girls basketball, for example, really struggled in non-conference. So all of those schools then get moved down accordingly to the other schools that had, or in conferences that had more non-conference success. And I think that's the part of it that in the computer part of it anyway, that may frustrate some coaches in that process.
Well, I remember back when I was younger, they would actually have the playoff brackets set before the season even began.
Okay.
I mean, literally. I mean, it used to be where you could have the best two teams in the bracket face off in the first round. Then they obviously went to the coaching meetings and now the computer. So it shows I'm getting old, but it also shows that things, if you didn't like this, you could really have hated it back then, where you could have a potential sectional final matchup occurring in the first round of the playoffs. Touching on the hockey aspect, this is a great week. In fact, over the years, I think in a lot of ways, the sectionals are more exciting than the state tournament, because it's so important to these teams, these players, the communities to get to state. So you have this pressure in the sectionals, and tomorrow night are the sectional semifinals, both in boys and girls hockey. And then either Friday or Saturday, depending on which sectional you're in, they play the sectional championship game. And the thing about, until last year when they moved the state tournament to Bob Suter's Capital Ice Arena, which is a very small venue, so now it's packed. But until then, when they had the tournament at the Alliant Energy Center, you would have this energy at a sectional final that you would not have at the state tournament. But, and I know you've been around high school sports for a long time, sectional week is something that is very, very special, isn't it?
It really is. And one of the things about hockey specifically that makes it very exciting is you're not talking in some cases about how it's just one community that's being part of it. Nearly every program in the state is a co-op of some kind, especially in girls hockey. And you have multiple communities kind of rally to it. So you end up with kind of a unique crowd, right? Because now you've got maybe in other sports, your schools are rivals, but now you're all grouped together in some kind of co-op, and now you've got, you know, those schools kind of coming together for this. So you get a very interesting mix of fans and a crowd, you know, that you maybe don't have otherwise in other sports. I think of Eau Claire, for example, where you've got, you know, multiple schools, you know, it was part of the event. Well, a lot of these kids that may be playing for a different school, even within the city, in high school, they probably, in almost all cases, were playing together on teams that are, you know, at the youth level, at sub varsity level. So, you know, maybe in youth hockey, they came up together. So there's some really interesting dynamics out of hockey itself. One of the biggest changes, I think, Chad, to hockey that has really changed the sport has been the addition of the second division. And what this is allowed to do is the teams that aren't necessarily co-oping or, you know, maybe only have two schools in it, is now that there's a bracket for some of those smaller programs, and that gives them a chance to state. And a couple of the teams that I've been tasked with following over the years, I get to freelance around the state a little bit. So I followed St. Mary Springs, for example, as they made a couple of title runs and gotten to see some of that. And you're seeing some rivalries sort of develop within that. There's some great schools that, you know, we're always kind of knocking on the door. But, you know, it's like, say, in the Madison area, you know, a school like Oregon couldn't break through against the Veronas of the world or the Middletons of the world. Well, now there's a bracket that kind of separates them in southern Wisconsin. You know, northern Wisconsin has the same thing. You get some of these smaller schools that break out, and all of a sudden you're starting to see these former powers that all of a sudden they got so small that the big schools would beat up on them in the sectionals. Now they're getting kind of their own runs. The two division setup has created some really cool things, like, you know, not only having more schools at state, but allowing some of the smaller programs to have kind of their day in the sun. On the other side of that, obviously the larger schools that are used to being at state every year as in the quarterfinal, now they're not, now that sectional state quarterfinal win, whatever you want to call it, now that's been different since this two division setup. But I still think now having just the four teams in each division go to state, it kind of matches what happens in other sports. And then obviously you get that impact of having those sectionals, you know, in an area that's a little closer to home.
Well, You're exactly right. I mean, just last Thursday, I went to Hudson for a Wausau West Hudson hockey matchup in the regionals, which used to be a state game. I mean, you got teams like Hudson and Eau Claire Memorial and Wausau West and Stevens Point and a few others that have been teams that used to go to state very regularly. Now they're all in one sectional, and it turns into a sectional of death. And I know there is some talk within both hockey and in basketball of trying to get six teams in Division One, because especially in hockey, it's a little bit unfair that you have 50, 55 schools that are involved in D1 and only 32 in D2. And yep, the same number of teams go to the state tournament. And that, it doesn't seem right that if you're going to have multiple divisions to have so many teams in one division and then almost half in the other division.
Yeah, and sorry that I interrupted you there second, but no, they did that just to kind of group teams by enrollment. They do that in other sports too, where they say the smallest X number of teams are going to be put in this bucket, and then the rest of the teams kind of fight it out on the other side. And that's happening, you know, in pretty much every sport like that. But hockey's kind of unique in that there aren't as many teams or as many schools competing in it. So it does create some of that disparity you talk about. And the other part of that too, a lot of the bigger schools, you know, just, you know, by virtue of them being bigger schools or from bigger communities, you would assume bigger crowds. You know, so that's the other part of it too. Do they, you know, how do you accommodate a new bracket setup that gets six teams to stay? Well, there's always discussions happening on that end of things too. But I know, Chad, under the current setup, just seeing the, you know, just seeing the schools that do make it to state, even now in Middleton at the new venue for state, you know, it does bring a little bit of excitement. It's one of those cool things about, you know, about having the hockey championship. The Coliseum was, it was Madison, but that venue didn't have the energy, right? It was so spread out. The ice was always pretty slow. It was one of those venues that you get to state and you're like, okay, well, you know, maybe there's a D3 college venue that plays a little better to our needs, right? But now you go and you're in a smaller, packed in, intense arena, and it's one of the cool things about state, where some venues that we have for state are way too big for the sport, and you don't get that atmosphere. I think state football comes to mind in a way, because you might get 8,000, 10,000 people there for a game, but it seats 80,000, so it doesn't feel like that big raucous crowd like you get at a sectional final or a regional final. Like you, Chad, you and I have gone to sectional finals where they'll be in a gym and it's standing room only. Yeah. I mean, it is to the walls, up to the top of the bleachers, and it is loud, almost to the point where you don't need a crowd mic in some cases, right? So, you know, having some of these venues that are sized to the crowd, right? It really creates for a fantastic experience in high school sports.
Well, I will say one thing about the Aligned. It had good parking. That's about it.
Oh,
it had good parking. But Jimmy, appreciate it again. It's a very exciting time of year, but thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it, Jed.
More to come here on Civic Media.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North.
910 AM WBZH.
When Cynthia came to TurboTax, she had just launched her new side gig, a true crime podcast.
I'm a first-rate detective with a golden voice.
As her TurboTax expert, I made her second income count by guaranteeing 100% accurate filing and her maximum refund.
What did she do with that refund? Find out next week.
Switch to Intuit TurboTax and make your moves count. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Experts only available with TurboTax Live.
Matt Nair on air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my birds.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Welcome back, Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. Chad Holmes sitting in today and tomorrow for Pat Kreitlow. And then on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Todd Alba will be in this seat as well. Again, thanks to Jimmy Cusco for joining us, talking about high school sports here on this Monday morning. And again, very exciting time of year. And I would encourage anybody out there who has not been in their communities in terms of taking opportunities to go to a game. It's the price is always right. You get a chance to see your friends and neighbors and support the young people in your community. So again, if you have an opportunity, especially this time of year with the playoffs coming, get over to your local gym or ice arena or wherever it may be and show support for the young people of your community. Today is Monday, the 19th day of February. That means we are now 50 days into 2024.
My goodness. 50 days in.
I mean, it seems like we just started, but yeah. 316 days remaining this year. And I often think, what is it going to be like 316 days from now? What are we going to find out here?
We'll know who the president will be.
I know so many different things. And in fact, I know that here in Wausau, tomorrow is I think it's primary day throughout the state of Wisconsin for the spring election. If there are primaries going on for some of these races, that will have the general for the spring election coming up on April the 2nd. We have a mayoral primary here in Wausau, a very significant race. Katie Rosenberg is the incumbent, has two challengers. So that means we're going to go from three until to two, mm-hmm. then for the April 2nd election, but primary going on tomorrow. So again, lots going on here in 2024. And of course, down in your neck of the woods, we will be converging on Pfizer Forum in the summer when a lot of Republicans will be hanging around Milwaukee this summer.
Yeah! I hope they all come to Civic Media radio stations and interview and talk to us. And
there you go.
I would love to talk to them. I'd love to, you know, whether they're campaign workers, candidates, door knockers, whatever. I mean,
and their money is just as good as anybody else's. So spend a lot of money down in Southeast Wisconsin.
You get, are you red? Are you blue? Well, it's all green for me. So
absolutely. Hey, we just heard coming into this segment, Seal. And the reason is today is Seal's birthday. Turning 61 years old today.
Oh my goodness.
I know. Isn't that amazing? You talk about amazing though. Smokey Robinson, 84 years old today. What a career he has had. Another guy that when I saw this, I was surprised that he is this old because, again, maybe it's because time flies by for me now. But Jeff Daniels, how old do you think Jeff Daniels from Dumb and Dumber?
If I had to take a guess, I'd say he's 71.
Oh, man, you're very close. 69.
Oh, nice.
69 years old today. Also, a guy that I think is one of the greatest examples on why we are very happy not to have a monarchy. Prince Andrew, Duke of York, talk about the black sheep of the royal family. Prince Andrew is 64 years old today.
Yeah, that's gonna suck. Like, one of the last things your mom does is like, you don't get to be prince anymore, or you don't get any of your, you gotta take your medals away. Why?
Well,
what do you mean? Why?
He earned everything that he got.
Yeah. That's one
of the, you don't say that very often with the royal family.
No.
You don't earn anything, but he actually earned his spot.
Yeah.
Remember Justine Bateman from Family Ties? Did you ever watch Family Ties?
Oh, yeah. I had such a huge crush on her growing up. I love Justine Bateman.
Well, Justine Bateman is celebrating a birthday today. She is 58 years old. And going to the other end, it feels like this young lady has been around for a very, very long time. From Stranger Things, the star of that incredible hit, Millie Bobby Brown. How old do you think Millie Bobby Brown is?
I'm going to go with 21.
Very close. 20 years old. It feels like she's been, and she has been around for a long time. Very impressive career. See, it'll be interesting to see how she transitions as she does get older, because often when you become a big star very young, it's very difficult to keep that career going. But
she's so fun to watch. Have you ever watched an interview with her? She does a lot of those Vanity Fair, Google Wire search things on YouTube. She's just fun. She's just excited and happy, and it's great.
You like to see the life in the eye.
Exactly.
Before it burns out. There you go. Absolutely. Some famous events that occurred on this date in history. And we heard Crazy Train with Ozzy. And one of the infamous events of his long career. And he's had a few infamous events in his long career. Back in 1982. So that would be 42 years ago. Ozzy was arrested for urinating on the Alamo.
Consequently, we haven't forgot.
I know. I tell you, it's incredible. Yeah. this one, you know, you scratch your head and think things have not changed one bit. 8 years ago today, on the 19th day of February of 2016.
Yeah.
Presidential candidate Donald Trump told Fox News he probably needed to act more presidential and said he would do so, quote, pretty soon.
Much like his healthcare system, his border security plan.
An infrastructure week is coming soon.
Yep, we're still waiting for that. Folks, it's coming. It's stay tuned, because it's coming.
Do you remember, I mean, I'm sure you did, number of times during his administration, where he would give a speech or do something, State of the Union, and then there would be these analysts breathlessly saying, this is the moment that Donald Trump truly became president.
Yeah. And then like 38 minutes later, he's like, you know what's weird about women? Oh, there it is. He's back.
Oh, man.
Yeah. We still do that to this day, where if he reads off a teleprompter and manages to sound halfway magnanimous or halfway like he's never spoken before. We're like, maybe this is a different. No, it's not. He just read off the teleprompter. He'll be weird tomorrow.
Isn't it interesting how for some folks, the bar is so incredibly low, and for other folks, the bar is so incredibly high?
Yeah.
You know, literally, if you can walk and chew gum at the same time, Donald Trump, boy, that guy is getting presidential.
That guy on Mount Rushmore.
Exactly right. Well, that's our number one. We survived our number one here.
Did it.
Sitting in the big chair for Pat Kreitlow. I hope Pat's not listening. I hope he's enjoying his time off. But we have another hour to go. Coming up in the second hour at 7:20, we'll be talking to American Hispanic Association's Tony Gonzalez. And then we'll have three things we should know with our Civic Media News Director, Terry Bell, coming up at 7.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Historic hearings underway at The Hague, the top court of the UN, listening to arguments about the legality of Israel's 57-